This is NPR's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams. Today, the House impeachment inquiry of President Clinton threatened to become even more partisan, bitter, and time-consuming. Republicans said they wanted to look past independent counsel Kenneth Starr's referral to include Whitewater and related matters. Democrats responded by saying they might boycott testimony by Starr later this week as a protest against what they called outrageously unfair procedures. In addition, today, Starr sent to Capitol Hill four more boxes of material related in part to his ongoing investigation of former Justice Department official Webster Hubbell. All this happened against the backdrop of the Judiciary Committee's release of edited audio tapes secretly made by Linda Tripp of her conversations with Monica Lewinsky and others. We have two reports now, starting with NPR's Nina Totenberg.
Her name has been dinner table conversation for almost a year, but until today, most people had never heard Monica Lewinsky's voice. In more than 22 hours of tape-recorded conversations, there are moments when she weeps, moments when she's furious with the president, calling him the big creep, and moments when she's reflective and soft-hearted about him, even after he ends their relationship.
And I think he has sort of reached this point in his life where it's kind of like, you know, he says it all the time, he has fewer days ahead of him than behind him.
And that's true. That is true.
And I think, I'll tell you, I don't think he'll touch another young girl, like my age young.
You don't think?
Again. I don't think he will ever. Because I think it does, if he allowed himself, and I'm sure there are moments, I think it makes him sick. It makes him sick to know that he has caused this.
Most of the tape conversations, however, are an audio portrait of the relationship between Monica Lewinsky and Linda Tripp. While at times each woman is trying desperately to manipulate the other, in most of the conversations it is Tripp who seems to lead the way for Monica to follow. It is Tripp, for example, who urges Lewinsky to ask the president for help in getting a job, and she eggs her on, telling her the offers are not good enough.
There are a bazillion options in New York. I mean, I could rattle off right now Max Chapman, Susan Thomas's. I mean, there are so many in New York with one phone call would give you a good job.
Throughout the months of covert taping, Tripp often seeks concrete evidence against the president, as when she tells Monica to save the semen-stained dress as, quote, an insurance policy.
I would say to my own daughter, for your own ultimate protection, which, mea culpa, I hope you never need it. But I don't want you to take it away either. I'm telling you, I would say this to my own daughter, who would tell me to fuck off, but
I'll think about it.
In another apparent move to create an evidence trail, Tripp suggests that Monica send the president a suggestive audio tape.
Yeah, so see, you can actually wrap that up. Like a little tiny present.
I will. That's what I'm going to do. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And you could put on the, like, a little sticker either on the tape box or on the outside of the thing. Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right.
Promise you, he gets a tape, he's going to listen to it.
I better.
He's just praying his voice isn't on it.
Hey, baby, why don't you come over and show me those distinguishing characteristics?
In many of the conversations, there's no laughter. Monica is crying.
You've been a trooper through all this, Monica. You have.
But it's like I don't get any credit.
I know. You don't. You're not getting the credit you deserve. But as far as I'm concerned, he inflicted a prison sentence on you the first time he kicked you out of there. I mean, it's been horrible.
Monica is no saint either. She's trying to get Tripp to lie, to say she knows of no affair. Tripp, for her part, is ever the martyred mother figure trying to get Monica to come clean.
How do you think that makes me feel? I could make you stop crying, and I could make your life so much easier if I would just lie. How do you think this makes me feel? I feel like I'm sticking a knife in your back. And I know that at the end of this, if I have to go forward, you will never speak to me again. I will lose a dear friend, someone whose friendship I value very much.
Monica is in full-throttle manipulation mode herself when she meets Tripp for a drink at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, unaware that Tripp is wearing an FBI body wire. In this conversation, Lewinsky offers to write Tripp a check for her silence. But unlike the conversations taped by Tripp, the FBI tape is nearly inaudible, as Monica tells Tripp she would be indebted to her for life if she lied.
I would be indebted to you for life. I would do anything. I would write you a check.
On the FBI tape, only Tripp's voice is clear as she bemoans her helplessness.
You've got friends. I have none. I have nobody in the whole world. I have no powerful friends.
Monica isn't the only person Tripp taped. She also taped her friend, the conservative activist Lucianne Goldberg, who's boasted publicly of trying to bring the president down. In this conversation, Tripp is talking to Goldberg about the tapes she's planning to bring to a meeting with a Newsweek reporter.
I went through 120-minute tape, and I think one side of the other. And actually, what I'm trying to do is stall here, because I think she's going to call me from the Watergate and let me know what she's decided to do. And I want to hear if she's flipping out. I want to get that on tape.
And in conversation with one of Paula Jones's lawyers, Tripp reminds him that she doesn't want anyone to know she's helping the Jones legal team.
If you want to look like you're not cooperating.
I need to look hostile.
I understand. My
livelihood is at stake here.
I would suggest that a subpoena drop on your doorstep out of the blue.
Monica, however, remains oblivious, prattling on about her theories on why the president ended their relationship after the election.
I think he made this pact, like, if you let me win again,
yeah,
you know, I will behave. Because, I don't know, or he just doesn't like me anymore, which is probably a combination of both.
Now, I think there's something to some sort of revelation or some sort of pact that makes sense. You know, you've got a two-term, whatchamacallit, and you could go down as being, you know, one of the more effective ones in modern history. But if you keep stepping on your wanger, this can be tainted. Do you know what I mean?
On the question of lying under oath, Monica is unrepentant, saying she was raised to lie to protect people. When I meet my maker, she says, and my maker says, did you harm people who were good to you? If I say no, that's what integrity is to me. She's not worried, she tells Tripp, because there's nobody to contradict her story.
I'm not concerned all that much anymore because I'm not going to get in trouble. I will not get in trouble because you know what? The story I've signed under oath is what someone else is saying under oath.
Who?
He will.
Oh, the big guy.
So
well, of course.
There are people that have said nothing happened. You know what I mean?
And you're positive, 100% without doubt positive, he's not going to slip up when he gives his deposition.
Him?
Well, he's only human. I mean, he's only human.
Anyway, Lewinsky tells Tripp, she did not have sex with the president.
I never even came close to sleeping with him.
Why? Because you were standing up?
We didn't have sex, Linda. Not, we didn't have sex.
Well, what do you call it?
We fooled around. I mean, sex is having intercourse.
You've been around him too long. That's his rationale.
Then I've had sex with a lot more people.
In short, Monica Lewinsky's story tracks what President Clinton was saying, which prompts Tripp to remark,
he should be thanking his lucky stars, left, right, and center, that you are who you are, and you're a very unusual person. Most people going through what you've gone through would have said, hey, you and the horse you rode in on, and let me call the National Enquirer, or,
yeah,
you know, you are the farthest thing from that kind of person.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.